This evening, there are several thoughts that's actually been on my mind. In the last few days, there's things that I thought that I might bring out that might be valuable to each one of us. The things center upon the thing called preparation. And it's not very often that I actually entitle a sermon, or at least it's not very often that I bring it out. But the title tonight of the things that I have prepared is Be Ye Prepared. And if we're prepared, the word means to be ready. And if we're ready, we're prepared. They go hand in hand. And I want us to think upon this thing called preparation, because there isn't anything that we accomplish in this life that does not entail a degree of preparation. We're full well aware of the few weeks just preceding this reunion and the preparation that went into it. And a thought has always come up several years, will we be ready for a reunion? And we're always ready when Friday morning comes. Sometimes it seems like it's impossible, but we're ready, at least relatively so. It seems all too often it's easier to get ready on the physical and temporal things than it is the spiritual. And it's these things that I want to be more concerned about tonight, is the spiritual preparation. For I feel all too often, perhaps in this, we may lack. Now, it is no accident that any one of us is here upon the face of this earth. We're here at a certain dispensation of time, I believe, according to the will of God. I even believe, and I have expressed this to others in our meetings of the reunion, our association, our fellowship one with another, that it isn't even an accident we were together, maybe talking at one time, maybe after our meals or such as this. And I believe it is no accident that any one of us are in the confines of this room tonight. We are placed upon the face of this earth for a very definite reason. And that reason is that we might work out our salvation and prepare for a richer, fuller life to come. A life in which there is a promise of no heartache or sorrow or tears or death. The things that we now know in this life will have passed away at that time. We were placed here to prepare for that richer, fuller life. And this is a thing I want each one of us to be very concerned about tonight, to think upon, to ponder upon, to consider very deeply. And I would that we might each make a greater individual preparation, and that collectively we might make a greater preparation. I have chosen this evening a passage of Scripture to read two verses from 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and verses 9, and then I'll go off on a little different thought and later read verse 10. And I want us to think upon this particular verse. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, I want to be very much concerned about the things that have eye has not seen and ear heard a little later. But first, I want to be concerned about this thing called loving him or God. For he has prepared certain things for those that have loved him. And the importance of loving God cannot be underestimated. And this won't be the main part of the thoughts that I want to bring out tonight, because I want to tie most of the thing around the thing called preparation and being prepared. I might even ask this, not only be ye ready, but are you ready? And let you each answer the question as we go further into this sermon this evening. Now, concerning the love of God and the importance of each one of us loving him, we find in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, and you can read this in verses 37 through 40, but I don't believe I'll turn to it, but I would like to turn to bring out some of the thoughts contained in it. But first, I want to go into some of the background of it. As often the happenings in the life of Jesus Christ were to teach different peoples. And in this particular instance, he was speaking unto the Pharisees. And he told them that in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage. And he tried to explain this to the Sadducees. I beg your pardon. He was explaining to the Sadducees this particular thing. And we find that he actually put the Sadducees to silence, and they were astonished at his doctrine. And his doctrine was given unto him by his heavenly Father. But we find the Pharisees, when they heard that Jesus Christ had put the Sadducees to silence, they came to him, and one of them, a lawyer, trying to tempt Jesus, asked, "What is the great commandment?" And Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now I want to back up into one verse there. Jesus Christ said how you're to love the Lord your God. And that is with all your heart. And we all know that the heart is what pumps through our body, the life-giving blood. The soul, we're to love the Lord thy God with all your soul. And the soul is the actual life of this body that we have. Without the soul, this body is dead. And thirdly, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind. That's with our intelligence, our ability to think. So you see, really, loving the Lord thy God in this manner is very involving of each and every one of us. And we must not forget that. And it is important, and I want to stress that this night, the importance of loving God. Now I would like to back up and reread that verse 9 of the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, even the deep things of God." So he has promised that these things would search it, that this Spirit which he has promised, and you can read somewhat about that in the 14th chapter of the book of John, and in verses 15 through about 18, you can read this. Jesus Christ said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Now, first here I brought out the importance of loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind. And here Jesus Christ said, "If ye love me, you will keep my commandments." And that is a charge to everyone in the confines of this room this night, to love Jesus Christ. And we're showing him that we love him if we keep his commandments. And he also said, "If you have loved one for another, then shall all men know that ye are my disciples." Again, very involving. It requires preparation upon the part of each and every one of us. We cannot underestimate the importance of it. And then we find that these deep things that have been revealed unto us, the things that God says no heart can see or eye can see, or really understand fully what God has prepared for those that love him. And yet the Spirit can show them unto the children of men if they will avail themselves of this Spirit that will do it. And there is a manner of availing oneself of it, and that is by keeping the commandments of Jesus Christ. And he says, "And I will pray the Father, if you do this, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you." I think it's one of the wonderful promises entailed in the Scriptures. The importance of keeping the commandments of Jesus Christ. Now, we can turn to 2 Nephi, the 14th chapter and the 6th verse. And I won't turn to it, but in this particular reading it says, "If ye will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will shew unto you all things what ye should do." This ties well with this. The way by which you should enter is repentance and baptism. And then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And after this has happened, you are on a straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life. But you can't say all is done at that time. You must press forward with a perfect brightness in faith and in Jesus Christ, knowing that the word of Jesus Christ has brought you this far. And a little later I want to dwell somewhat upon the importance of the words of Christ and the words of God in our lives. Now concerning some of these beautiful things that God has prepared for those that loved Him, this thing called preparation is all involving. It seems like the whole thing of eternity ties around a thing called preparation. The first three verses of the 14th chapter of John, let us read. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Yes, if you love the Lord thy God with all your heart and soul and mind, you believe in God, believe also in Jesus Christ. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Preparation again on the part of Jesus Christ. Preparing a place for man to be with Him in eternity in the mansions of our Heavenly Father. What a beautiful, wonderful thing of hope this is in a world that is torn with strife and sorrow and heartache. What a beautiful promise. And I go. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He wants those who will follow Him to be there with Him in eternity. So how important it is that we take the time, as the song we sing, and sometimes I use that 3:22, take time to be holy. The world rushes on. And if ever there was a time that the world is rushing on, it is today. We haven't got the time we once had. It seems that time is fleeting away. And I hear practically everybody say this, even the young. And you used to never hear the young say this, how rapidly time passes. And here May passed so rapidly, I hardly knew where it went. And here tomorrow is half gone on June already. Where is it gone? Jesus Christ said, if I didn't shorten my coming, there wouldn't even be any flesh left upon the face of this earth. It's a thought to consider. It's time that we awake, and I believe this with all my heart. It's time that we prepare our souls. It's time that we draw closer to God. We're running out of time. Now, that might seem like an odd statement, but I believe it. It's later than we think. And yet, in all this, there's hope, regardless of what trial will come, what trouble is prophesied in the scriptures by Jesus Christ and the holy prophets of old, and they will be fulfilled in every detail. Yet in all this, there's the wonderful hope of the scriptures by relying upon Him. The strength that you can and I can have by putting our trust in Him. And there's many scriptures that tells us we must trust in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, preparation goes a long ways. And even in the life of Jesus Christ, there was even foretold, prepared, mind you, the manner of the birth of Jesus Christ. A virgin would bear a son, different completely than any normal birth. But that's the way it was. And what more fitting way could it have been for the greatest person that ever walked the face of this earth? He came here as you and I and suffered pain and sorrow and heartache. He grew up here as a young man. And at the age of somewhere around 26 or thereabouts, according to this, he was baptized, all according to the plan. This was prepared. Actually, Jesus Christ didn't need baptism. But this was done that it might be so to fulfill all righteousness. And you can read somewhat again about this preparation and the first three verses of the third chapter of Matthew. We find John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. He was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. It was foreordained that this would be. He was prepared to do this very thing. And he cried, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And what's the next words? Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John the Baptist cried that. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And he did prepare the way of Jesus Christ. Today it should be cried that we might make a greater preparation, that we might make his paths straight. We're told in the scriptures he does not walk in crooked paths, but he walks in a straight and narrow path, and it lies in a straight course before you. The reason sometimes it might get crooked is because man deviates and follows after the things of the world and the things of sin. And as a result, heartache and sorrow comes to us. The closer we follow God, the greater the blessings can be ours to enjoy. We find, again, a little more of this thing called preparation. And this is found in 3 Nephi, 8th chapter, and the first three verses. Now this is about 7 years later, maybe a little over, in the life of Jesus Christ. The first I brought out here was this previous to his baptism. This event is after his crucifixion, after his resurrection, and he appeared to the people upon this continent. He taught them the self-same words that he taught the people in Jerusalem. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not expect any more of you than me, or than he did of Adam, or he will with somebody who lives in the future. He expects the same of all peoples. And the same God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're dealing with knowns when we deal with them. When we're dealing with man, we deal with unknowns. And in this particular instance, Jesus Christ taught them the words. And he taught them the things they should do. And he perceived after he taught them these words that they were weak. And that they didn't understand all these things. So he told them, he says, go to your homes and ponder upon these things. Pray over them that you might understand. And prepare your minds for the morrow, and I'll come back again. And he looked about on this multitude of people, and it happened to be that there was 2,500 there, somewhere thereabouts. A little later in the record it says that. And he looked and they were in tears. And he had compassion for them, as he often had compassion for the needs of the children of men. He expects you and I to have compassion, to support the weak, to help those in need, to reach out unto every needy, naked soul. Our responsibility is great. And we find that in all this, that these people desired that he would stay just a little longer. And his compassion was full. He says, have ye any that are sick, or afflicted, or lame, or leprous, or deaf, or blind? Bring them hither, and I will heal them. And so they, how did they come? With one accord. And he says, I see that your faith is sufficient. And they passed before Jesus Christ, and every one who had a need, it was imparted unto them. And the blind did see, and the deaf did hear, and the lame did walk. What a marvelous blessing that would be. And we find at the closing of that day and before it got dark, he went back, as he said he would, to appear on the morrow. And if we would turn over to 3 Nephi, the 9th chapter, we would find a few events that took place. And after Jesus had ascended into heaven, and the multitude did disperse, and every man did take his wife and his children and return unto his home. And you remember, to start with, he admonished them to ponder upon the things which he said, to pray over them, to prepare their minds for the morrow. And do you know what they did? They went home, went to bed, and went to sleep. Is that what it says? No, sure didn't. Those people were so enthused, and actually probably so excited, that the big majority spent the night and preparing and telling others, Jesus is going to be here on the morrow. And they came on the morrow. But he says, Jesus is going to be here, and they spent the night. They were prepared. And now let me tell you something. If you knew tomorrow morning that Jesus Christ was going to be here, I think it would change the thought of every one of you here this night. You'd be preparing. There might even be things in your life that you'd like to get rid of tonight before you stood before the master of men on tomorrow. I'm sure that I would. And I'll let each one of you answer that for yourself. But he probably won't be here. But He has caused that men would be called and given authority who will be here. We need to support the ministry in our prayers, that they might be able to preach and teach with the power of God, that it might be even convincing unto the children of men. And we can read in the scriptures those like Nephi of old, and what a marvelous preacher that individual must have been, and what great faith he must have had, for angels did minister unto him daily. And he had such faith, and he preached with such power, that the people couldn't even disbelieve his words, and had a convincing way about them. But you know something else? A lot of them were mad at him because of his power, and they wouldn't pay any attention. Even though they couldn't disbelieve what he said, they knew that it was true. Now, we can have these things in our very midst, but we need to make that adequate, sufficient preparation. We need to be ready. And as I mentioned earlier, it's later than we think. Now there are ways of preparing. You can find that in 3 Nephi, the 8th chapter, verses 47, 50, and through there. We find that Jesus Christ spoke to his disciples, and he told them to what? Watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation, or lest ye be tempted by the devil, is the way it's worded, and are led away captive by him. He told his disciples, the very ones he chose to minister to these people. He says, you're going to have to prepare yourself. You're going to have to watch. You're going to have to be watchful continually. You're going to have to be watchful into prayer continually, because the devil wants you. And he wants to have you captive. And then he turned to the multitude and told the multitude, watch and pray always, lest you enter into temptation, for Satan desires to have you, and you, and you. He wants every one of us tonight. Why? He had a pretty high position one time in heaven. He desired his power to be even ahead of the stars of heaven. He desired great power. He fell because of his desire. And because he fell, the Book of Mormon says, he became miserable. And because he's miserable, he desires the misery of all mankind. Nothing can make the devil happier tonight than to see us crying with heartache and sorrow and miserable and depressed and discouraged and disgusted and everything else. But really, we've got something on our side. I want to read that. I really didn't intend to. Ephesians 6th chapter, just one verse. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that's the way that we are to be strong before Jesus Christ and God. In the power of his might. Yes, this thing called prayer is important. And we can avail ourselves of a far greater power than that fellow that wants the misery of every one of us this night. Do you know, this was read in the afternoon sermon, 2 Nephi 14, 12, an admonishment on the importance of prayer. I believe I'll turn to it and read it, for it seems like some of the thought of it I might miss tonight. And I'll reread it. But behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always and not faint. In other words, be strong in the faith, not faint. How many times do we faint when we pray? How many times do we really pray with real intent of heart? Do we really become involved in our prayers? When we're concerned about the needs of our fellow man, are we really involved in it? Just like it was happening to us. And a thought come to me a while back was, while I was doing some of my activities of life, and it seems like over in far off Africa, and these little babies starving to death, and young children with large heads and stomachs that's puffed up and all these things, and it's way off. It really don't seem too real, but if it was one of these little children in this room tonight, it would be real. And we better be getting more involved in what's hurting those people there. We better be getting closer to the Lord so we might help there. We've got a responsibility. When a thing happens to you, it's real. When it happens way off, it's a terrible thing. When an earthquake comes and destroys a whole bunch of houses, or a tornado hits up in Omaha and destroys thousands of houses, it's terrible. But when it destroys your house, it's real, isn't it? And who knows? We don't know what's going to happen. It was brought out here earlier by one of them in a prayer service. We don't even know what will happen today or tomorrow. during the remainder of the day. There's none of us that has a surety or a cinch on life. There's promises that can be fulfilled in every one of us. So it behooves each day that we live prepared. If we were called to meet our Maker on the morrow, that we would be prepared. We could have the word said, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful in much." And I hope and pray we might do that. And yet the great thing now is the promise of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it will come without deviation. I'm not saying exactly when, but I know it's getting closer because the very things are being fulfilled before our eyes. And this one on prayer says you must not perform anything unto the Lord save in the first place you pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ that He might consecrate your performance for your soul well-being. And that's why we're here tonight, for our soul well-being, lest we forget it. Now we might think on this. Why all the elaborate preparation? It is because of the power of the devil. We cannot underestimate his power. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9 has this to say. Be sober. That means be alert, be aware. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He would like to devour every one of us in the days ahead. He's working on it. And while you sleep tonight, he's still working. So if you want to be equal to that boy, you're going to have the power of God on your side. You've got to stand strong in the power of that might. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. There it is. We've had much spoken on faith here. Faith, hope, and charity was brought out in one of the sermons and some of the thoughts. Knowing... And listen to this. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren, yes, that are in the world. Didn't necessarily say that we're going to be free from all these things. But the same afflictions that are accomplished in your brethren are accomplished in the world. James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. What did it say? Resist. Didn't say it was going to be easy, but it says resist the devil and he will flee from you. And how do we really resist the devil? And I said I was going to bring up something about this Word of God. There is the answer. Within these scriptures is the Word of God and Jesus Christ. They have every detail of how to resist the devil. In Nephi's vision, it told of a marvelous vision and a straight and narrow path, a rod of iron, which is a representation of the Word of God, which grasped firmly and pressed forward, will lead the man to the tree of life. And to partake of this tree of life, which is a representation of the love of God, is a thing that can make a person happy, above all happy. It is a joyful thing to partake of it, because Lehi saw this, the great joy of partaking of the fruit of this tree, which was white above all that is white, and pure above all pure. And it was a representation of the love of God that he has for each one of you tonight. And he has asked you and I tonight to love him with this heart, with this soul, and with this mind. Really? He couldn't expect any less of us. Are we doing it? I would like to turn to Helaman 2:26. Because, again, some very fine advice. Yea, we see that whosoever will lay hold upon the Word of God, which is quick and powerful. Don't underestimate the Word of God, which shall divide asunder this Word of God all the cunning and the snares and the wiles of the devil. There we are equal, if we lay hold upon the Word of God. All this cunning, deceitful person, the devil, his wiles, his trickery, his deceit. It says it shall divide asunder all this and lead the man of Christ where in a straight and narrow course, where across the everlasting gulf of misery that the devil has laid here to cause man to be misery. The Word of God can lead you right across that gulf of misery. It need not even affect your being. which is prepared. Now notice this, even the devil's a man of preparation. So we better wake up, hadn't we? He prepared this gulf of misery to ensnare every one of you. It says right here, this gulf of misery which is in prayer, prepared to engulf the wicked and land their souls. See, it can take us across that gulf of misery. And then we have this Word of God which is prepared to land our mortal souls at the right hand of God. So there we have it. And the devil even is a man that has got the misery prepared, but God has prepared the Word of God. It can take you right across that misery and land your mortal souls at the right hand of God. What a beautiful statement. What a wonderful thing this is. I would like to read a verse out of Jeremiah 17:10. And this one has this to say, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Yes, this Word of God is just, very just. He tries the reins. He also says in Galatians 6, 7, and 8, to be not deceived, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What beautiful promises these are. We cannot underestimate them. We find that in Moroni 6, 3 and 5, about a group of people that were baptized. It told about those who repented, and they were baptized, and they become members of the Church of Christ. But what happened? Did it stop then? No, that wasn't all. Their names were taken, and a part of what happened there, they were nourished. Notice that. Nourished by the good Word of God. So the responsibility is great to the ministry to nourish those who have taken upon them the thing called repentance and baptism. By those having authority to accomplish such. We find prophesied in the scriptures in Daniel 12:1 of a day yet in the future wherein it would be a time of trouble such as never was or ever will be since there was a nation. And I believe that we're entering that time of trouble that will try the hearts of the children of men very deeply and very completely. Now, Jesus Christ had this to say in Mark 13, 35 through 37. Watch! We heard a bit about this last Sunday evening in a sermon. Watch. Prepare. That's watching. Ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. If Jesus Christ would come tomorrow, would he find us sleeping? Would he find us prepared? If he comes next summer, farther off, would he find us sleeping or prepared? He says, watch, lest this happen to you. And what I say unto you, I say unto you all, watch. It is vital. It is important. Now I felt tonight that there was another thing that I might bring in. And it too entailed preparation. In February of this year, I had a dream, and it seemed very real. In fact, after it was completed, I woke up and I thought that it was just like I was sitting here or standing here talking to each one of you. And I will just go over just briefly some parts of this. And in this, it seemed like it was conference time, and I might have the responsibility of preaching. And so I began getting concerned, as I would at this kind of responsibility. And I sat down in front of a table and began taking notes on a piece of paper. And about me, I was outside, and there was many people around me, mainly concerned with the cares and activities of life. And then a little later, I moved to another location, and this time I sat down, but all I had to write on was a box. And I took a little piece of paper out of my billfold and began to write. A person come by and offered me a larger piece of paper, but I said, well, this is all I need. To me, indicating that there wasn't much time. And I was very concerned for this people that I was among. And again, in this particular instance, I was among a people who were, again, just mainly concerned with the activities of life. And I believe that a part of that, if I have it here, I want to turn and read it to you. And again, there were people about me, little mindful of our day, engaged in the various activities of life, which seemed to be taking most or all of their time. Then it came to me the importance of taking time to prepare for the day in which we live, which precedes the time of the end and the second coming of Christ. And I believe that thing called preparation is vital. As I sat there in this dream, the Holy Spirit came over me and the tears ran down my cheeks. Now, some of you have heard this. For I was very concerned about this people I was among. It was just as real as when my heart reaches out in compassion for those in great need in this congregation during prayer services and other times. It's just as real as that. Then this was impressed upon me as to the condition of this people, the same as if they had told me that they would prepare at a more convenient day, for now they were too busy. And you know who I really think that people was? The people of the Church of Christ, mainly. I think it involves others. Now, this might seem a rather frightening thing, but I believe that was plain enough to me. The ones I'm mostly speaking to is mostly that, and some others, and anybody it hears, it pertains to. Mainly concerned about the cares of this life, they would prepare it a more convenient day, for now they were too busy. And we read one of the things that Jesus Christ foretold in Luke 21. You can read this, 34 through 35. You can read this particular statement, wherein he said, take heed, be aware of the things that's going to portray or precede the second coming of Christ, a day when men would be overcharged with surfeiting, excesses, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. And I believe that man is very concerned, and we got to be concerned, but we can't let them be the number one thing. We got to let God and Jesus Christ become number one in our lives. But then this thought come to me, for those who were too busy to prepare today, then it came to me that there would be no more convenient day than the present day to prepare. And I believe that. This is the day we got to do it for preparation. Tomorrow's given to us, we better be using it. The words came to me that this was all the time there was to prepare, and that there would be no more time to prepare given, indicating that the time was much shorter than we think. And another thought I wanted to tie in here, another thing that requires preparation. At our recent conference, we considered a transfer question. You who have read The Advocate has seen an appeal in there to the membership of this church concerning praying over this very important issue. We need to prepare. I believe we could have came, if we would have prepared sufficiently before, we could have came at a unity under the direction of the Holy Spirit. But this resolution, and there were seven of us who had a very spiritual experience concerning it, and I won't go into it tonight, that this was the course to pursue. I happen to be among the seven. That this would give the people of this church ample opportunity to fast and pray concerning this very important issue. And I believe we better be doing it and not waiting. All too often, there's things we set up a special day to fast and pray. And in part of this resolution also, there's a time set forth when the ministry of this church, yet this summer, starting August 20th, I believe, in 21, will gather together in the attitude of fasting and prayer concerning this issue. And following that will be two more days of other special ministers' conference concerning the missionary program of the church and other vital issues. We need to be praying today. Don't wait till you get there and say, well, now I'll try to get prepared. Now is the time to get prepared. In all these things, we must make a great preparation. And I think all too often we have failed. It is later than we think. And I believe this, that time is running out. And yet in all this, we cannot discount the wonderful hope contained in the Scriptures. I would like to turn to a passage of Scripture in Alma, the 17th chapter. And I believe upon reading this and a little comment, I will probably let this be my final thoughts. 66 through the 70th verses. An admonition of a father to his son to preach unto the people repentance, number one. Faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them what? Humility. To be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil. With their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to never be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly in heart. And it says, such shall find rest for their souls. So it don't matter how much your soul is in turmoil, you can find rest for your soul by applying the commandments of Jesus Christ to your life. Yea, O remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. Yea, and listen to this closely, everyone. Let all thy doings be unto the Lord. Now, is every one of your doings unto the Lord? If they aren't, you better start doing some thinking and some preparation. And whithersoever thou goest, let it be in the Lord. Let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. And I've had cause to bring this out before. I really don't know what people are thinking when I'm speaking to them. But God knows. You can't hide one thought of any person in this room tonight. He has held out an invitation to each and every one to come unto him and fully partake of his goodness. Let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever, and counsel the Lord in all thy doings. And the promise, he will direct thee for good. When thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he might watch over you. And we could get up in the morning and thank him for doing it. This is a thing called involvement of each one of us. And if you do these things, ye shall be lifted up in the last day. And that's what I brought out to start with. That's why we're here tonight, that we might be lifted up the last day, that we might prepare for that rich life ahead in eternity with Jesus Christ and God, a beautiful life. One thing I've failed to mention much on preparation, I think prayer is vital, but I think many times it requires fasting and prayer. I believe there's a thought I would like to leave with you. On the morrow, we have set forth at 9 o'clock a sacrament service. I believe we should try to think this night and to ponder and to pray and to prepare our minds for the morrow. And I don't feel lightly to admonish you to do this. Fast and pray that on the morrow you have to have a reason that the Holy Spirit will be there in power in that service, that it might touch each and every heart in this congregation to the extent that you might never forget what took place. Brothers and sisters, we got a responsibility, and I hope and pray to God you don't take it lightly. Time is later than you think.